more of the, I think, 11 and probably 12-year-olds was there. But I guess if all of us was to admit the truth, that we would all have to say that, not only in young people, but in older ones as well, that there's a lot less of respect today for men and for God than there was a few years ago. Do you agree with that? Some of you do. Anyway, maybe not all the young people do. But it's true, right? People don't really respect other people's property anymore. If they did, we wouldn't have to have a crime watch, right? Like what we have on the island. Nobody's would have to worry about people stealing their boats or anything else that they had if they respected other people's property and would just leave it alone. But my main thought was in the line of the way that we respect one another, the way that we respect God, how much reverence and honor do we really give to the one who loved us and died for us on Calvary and the one who created this entire universe, as a matter of fact. Not only created the universe, but created man as well. Those of us that are here tonight, the handiwork of God. How many of us really respect him and give him the due honor that he is worthy of in the proper way? And there was a little, while I was thinking about this message, you know, I was thinking, I said, is there a portion of scripture, a verse in the Bible where we could probably find a little subject on that, on respect, and how much God, I think, really values the way that we think of one another, the way that we think of God's servants, and the way that we think of God himself. And I brought a little, well, I read a few verses of scripture on Monday night that I think to some of those young people that were in the meeting that night, I'm not saying all, but I think to some of them, probably was the first time that they had ever heard that story read from the Bible. Now, many of you probably already know what I'm thinking about. Do you know of a story in the Bible where some people died because they didn't have respect? Huh? You're not saying it loud enough for me to hear you. And that's right. Brother Perry's with me tonight anyway. In 2 Kings, I just want to read a few verses from there and then just make a few comments as well. In 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'll read just the few verses prior to the verse that I want to get to, but we'll begin reading at verse 19. We're talking about here now one of God's great prophets, the prophet Elisha. It says, and the man of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth. But the water is naught, and the ground is barren, or the water was no good that was in the city, and the ground was infertile, it wasn't producing any fruit. And he said, this was Elisha, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now remember, this was God's servant. This was one of God's prophets. He was the man of God at that time, the one that God spoke to his people through. And it was this man that they should have had respect for. But according to the next verse, we'll read that they really didn't. Listen. And he went up from thence, or from that place, unto Bethel. And as he was going up, by the way, there came forth little children, or some young people, youth, out of the city, and they mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, or run along, you bald head, run along. And Elisha turned back and looked on them and called for judgment upon them, or he cursed them. And there came forth two she-bears, or two female bears, from out of the woods, and tore, or tear, 42 of them to pieces. Can you believe that? You ever heard that story? 42 young people were rent to pieces by two bears because of mockery, because of disrespect to one of God's men, the prophet of God. Now, you see, when we talk about respect, and I know this is probably not only in Spanish Wales, but it's probably the world over. There's very little of it today because you know why? I think that what is happening to us is exactly what the Word of God had to say when it said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end times, in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. And most of us are very familiar with what was happening in the days of Noah, right? Probably one of the most wickedest times that this world has ever known, when there was no respect whatsoever upon the face of the earth. No respect for God, no respect for man. The Bible says that every man done what seemed right in his own eyes. That's what they were doing. They didn't have respect for God nor man. And the Bible says, and this is something that it makes me shudder sometimes when I read it. The Bible says that God repented that he had ever made man in the first place. It repented his heart. He looked down upon this earth and he saw how wicked men were. They had no fear of him. They had no respect for him whatsoever. It grieved him in his heart, and he repented him. It says that he had ever created man in the first place. And you know, I think that we are getting, and if we're not already there, we're getting to that stage very fast. Because there's little respect today given to anybody. Little respect. And we think of children, you think of your parents, and how many of you really respect, or how many of us really respect what our parents have to say to us? Now when they speak to us, what is our feeling? What is our attitude towards them? Do we respect what they're saying? Or is it, you know, just as they're speaking to us in our minds, we sit sniggling at them, and we already got purposed in our hearts what we're going to do anyway, and we're not listening at one single word that they have to say. You see? But yet, I find it so common, and I know because we work with young people at the chapel, and I'm not putting down, I'm not trying to discourage or to say that every young person in the world is just worthless and no good, because I know better than that. I know that we have some good young people, and I praise God for them every day of my life. I really thank God for the way that he has directed and is leading some of the young people in our island, directing their lives, and I thank God for that. But what I'm talking about is so many that has very little respect for God or for parents or for anybody. And we see it not only in the home. We see it when we come to the services, when we meet together in the house of God, how much respect is given to the house of God. And I know that this is just a building, but hey, when we are here, we're in his presence. He's here in our midst, and we should have respect for him when we come together, right? We don't come together. We don't come into the house of God to talk and not to pay attention at what's being said. And we see it happening so often, and nothing grieves me more than that when somebody is speaking from God's word that people are just turning it off. They're not paying any attention to what's being said. They're just talking about something that happened yesterday, or probably something that happened 10 minutes before they came into the meeting, and their mind is not on what God's servant is speaking about, and they're in just out into another world. No respect. You don't respect parents. But I do find out that young people, especially, they want to be heard. They want you to listen to them, right? They want you to hear what they have to say. They want you to do things for them. And that's what I said to our young people here on Monday night. I used this illustration, and I'll use it again tonight. You know, if you want to have respect from other people, then you've got to show respect yourself. I mean, God's word teaches that, right? If we want to have friends, then the Bible says we must first show ourselves friendly. If we want other people to look on us and to respect us, then we've got to give respect. And I said, now, let's just suppose, and I know most children are this way anyhow. They think that, well, my parents are supposed to do everything for me. Well, they brought me to this world, so they're supposed to go to work 6 days a week. They're supposed to wash my clothes. They're supposed to cook my food. That's, you know, all that's in the plan. They're supposed to do that. But I said to the young people on Monday night, and I know some of you were here that weren't here then, so I'm going to say it again. Just suppose, now, come tomorrow. No, I say Saturday, because everybody's out of school Saturday. They don't have to go to school. So come Saturday, you're going to get a notion in your mind. Well, your parents are always saying, well, you don't do anything, you know, for me. There's very little you do around this house. I wish you'd do a little bit more. So all of a sudden, this notion comes to your mind, and you say, well, I'm going to fix Mommy and Daddy Saturday. I'll fix them on Saturday. I'm going to just cook the best meal she ever saw put on the table in her life. So you set out and you spend the whole morning. Mommy's gone to work. So you spend the whole entire morning preparing that meal, right? I mean, you do everything just as neat as you can. You put all the right spices in that food. And that them dishes look so good. When Mommy comes home 12 o'clock and opens the door, the table's all set. And you say, just pull your chair, sit down. I've got lunch all prepared for you. Everything's ready. Sit down and eat. And she looks at him and says, no good. What you cook that for? I wrote that lima bean soup. How do you think she feels? Or how do you feel, rather? Huh? I asked him, how would you feel if Mommy looked at that table in disgust and just said, wish I had something else. You could have did better than that. After you've given so much of your time to preparing that meal, you'd feel hurt, right? You'd probably want to go in the bedroom and shut the door and cry for the next half an hour because she felt that way towards you. But you know, how many times do you do that to your parents, young people? How much respect do you give to them? How many times do you say, thank you for what you did for me this week? How many times do we say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I love you, Lord, because you went to the cross of Calvary and died for me? How many times do we do that? Or do we, as we go out from day to day, live our lives just like the Lord Jesus Christ never died upon the cross of Calvary? And we do like, well, he don't exist. You know what he said? You know how much he loved you? You know how much he loved me? As he hung upon the cross of Calvary? While they drove the nails through his hands and through his feet and through his side, he looked up to his Father and he cried out to his Father, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loved me. How much do we love him? How much respect and honor and homage are we paying to him? And then, you know, it makes me think of us as parents too, because I know that sometimes we fall short. And I know that as parents, as fathers, and as mothers, our kids look at us and they expect to be led and directed along life's pathway. And if we're not doing that, then we're failing, and we're failing miserably. And I'll tell you, they do observe our lifestyle, and they do observe how much that we think of them and what we do for them and how much we love the Lord Jesus Christ. They do. And it has an effect upon their lives. It happened all through Scripture. If you were to look at some of the fathers in Scripture, mothers as well, that lived their lives, and the lifestyle that they lived resulted into the lifestyle of their children. Right? You take for Lot, for instance. Look at the way he lived. He took his family from out of the land where God had put him, and he took them into the plains, into Sodom and Gomorrah that was filled with sin. And what resulted in his children? Some of them perished because they wouldn't leave the place. They loved it so much. The others committed such a great sin. Two of his girls committed one of the greatest sins that they could have committed, all because they had poor examples as a father. What about David? Just look at David. Man committed adultery. What happened with his children? His son committed adultery, or his son raped his own sister. Sad. Look at Jacob. What did he do to his daddy? He deceived him. What did his kids do to him? Same thing. They deceived him. Look at Adam. God placed him into the Garden of Eden, gave him everything that he needed, and yet he still sinned against God, and he did what God told him not to do. What happened to his first child? He rebelled against God in the same manner. Slew his own brother. Became a murderer. So they observe us and they watch us, and we have to be careful as parents the way that we direct our children. Now, not all parents in the Bible, not all fathers led their children down the path of unrighteousness. There were some that led their children in the paths of righteousness, and God honored them for it. Look at the Enoch. The Bible says that he walked with God and was taken up and into heaven. Then we have Joshua. And I think if all of us were to take the stand that Joshua took, then we might see a difference in our land and throughout the world. As Joshua was faced with that great challenge, when the whole nation of Israel was turning their back upon God and was going in the opposite direction, Joshua stood up in the midst of them and cried out to the people of Israel and said, "Look, you choose who you're going to serve. It's your choice. Go ahead. You make that choice. Who are you going to serve? But as for me and for my house," not only Joshua, but for his house, he was going to bring that into his house. He was going to bring his children up to in the fear and admonition of the Lord. "For me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." God honored him for it. God will honor us as well if we seek to bring our children up in the fear of God. Now, I know that I'm not saying, you know, that if we do that, that everything is going to be all right. I know there's circumstances when children will rebel regardless of what their parents do. And I'm not saying that because some children rebel against their parents, it's because the parents have failed to bring them up in the fear of God, because I know better than that. And I've seen different from that in my own experience, and I'm sure that you have too. But it is indeed our responsibility before God that we teach our children, that they know from us that when we stand before God, that we are without excuse, that we can say with the sincerity of our hearts that we tried to the best of our ability to bring our children up in the fear of God. And young people, let me say this to you as I close tonight. Again, what goes around comes around. The Bible says for us not to be deceived. Galatians 6 and 7, a very famous verse, verse that has been quoted on many, many occasions in Sunday school. I remember when we used to say the verses out in the hall, and just about every Sunday morning somebody quoted that verse, and everybody was familiar with it, that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And it's true. You know why it's true? Because the Word of God says it. And if the Word of God says it, then it's no use for us to try to change it, because if we do, we're going to get in trouble, right? What did Jesus say? "Woe unto that man that tries to change just one jot or tittle in it." If it's written here, it's truth, and it will surely come to pass. So if we want respect from others, then we have to give respect. And it is indeed our duty, as Christians anyway, It is our duty as Christians to give respect to the God Almighty, to the one that is all supreme, the one who reigns over the heavens and the earth. And don't let us ever forget that. Never let us forget that. That when we are here, we are in His presence, when we are in the house of God, and we should pay attention to what's being said, not just to have every known thing in our minds as we come into God's house and we sit there and we laugh and we chat and we don't know one thing that's going on. Let's give respect to God. Let's give respect to our parents. And I said to those young people on Monday night, I said, you know, you just try it. You try it for a while. Give it a try. You shall start showing respect to other people. You start giving what you want given back to you, and I guarantee you, if you give respect to others, and if you're kind to others, they're going to be the same way to you. They will. Okay? So if it's anything that I want to get across tonight, because in recent months, you know, we've seen so much change, even in our own youth groups, and I'm sure the other churches would probably say the same thing. There's so little respect for the house of God and for the things of God. And I think the time has come when we as old people and young people as well give God what He's worthy of. Let's pray. Our Father, we truly thank You tonight afresh for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His love to us, and we realize tonight that if He hadn't loved us so much, that none of us would have been found in this gathering tonight. But we're so grateful that He loved us, and we're so grateful that when we were unlovable, that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And tonight, as we've declared Thy word and spoken just a few short words from Your word tonight, we trust that it might prove profitable to each and every one of us. And we pray, Father, that indeed we will seek in our own lives to give the Lord Jesus Christ the proper place, the right place, the place that He deserves in our hearts and in our lives as we live day by day in this little community. We pray too tonight, Father, for some that may be here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray that indeed tonight that they will open their heart and just let the Lord Jesus Christ come in, the one who loved them so much that He was willing to die in their place. And we thank You, Father, too, now for the food that has been prepared for us. And we thank You for the hands that have provided it. And we ask now, Lord, that You will bless it to our bodies as we give thanks in the Lord Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen.